makes you feel good, doesn't it? Do you just feel better already coming to church this morning? That is an amazing sermon given by a brother of ours. It's legendary. Been thinking on it this week. Kings and kingdoms. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of the Living God this morning? In John chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, I've been thinking on this one. It says, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who's to come into the world. And Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Colossians 2, 9 and 10, for in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. 1 Timothy 1:17, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we come before you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come this morning under the banner of the truth of who the King is, the Sovereign One, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We come this morning, Lord God, to worship the King in spirit and in truth. We come this morning, Lord, to learn from the King. We come to give praise to the one who's patient with us, who loves us, and who knows us by name. Lord, we come in the midst of politics in America and the choosings of authority, recognizing, God, the ultimate authority, the Sovereign One. Would you send your Spirit upon us today, God, that we might understand the things freely given? And Lord, I pray for the individual behind the pulpit today that this person would be anointed with your Spirit, would speak clearly and without error this morning, and that this would be done for the kingdom of heaven and for nothing else. We pray this in your most holy name. And all those who love the Lord God Almighty would say what?
Amen.
It's very good to be with you this morning, and may you be seated, and glad to have you online and to be with us today. Thank you for being with us. Service. We're coming here to meet Jesus, know Jesus, and to follow Jesus. Crazy week of politics in the United States of America. I don't know if you've heard the rumor or not, but politics will always be on planet Earth forever. It will always be here. It's never going to leave. Politics is here. As a matter of fact, politics is not just here today on planet Earth, but politics was happening 2,000 years ago. When Jesus of Nazareth was walking on planet Earth 2,000 years ago, politics was taking place. And as a matter of fact, and we read it this morning, there's a time in the life of Jesus when he did an incredibly public miracle. It was his first public miracle that just sent the people crazy. He fed 5,000 men with fish and bread. It says that when the crowds saw this miracle unfolding before their very eyes, they wanted to make Jesus king by force. And Jesus turned them away. Why? Because Jesus isn't a king? No. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is a king. But this king, our king, was preparing for a fight, for a battle that we don't completely understand. A spiritual battle, an eternal battle for the eternal souls, for our souls, for our eternal destiny. When Jesus was on that hillside so long ago and they wanted to make him king and he shooed them away, he didn't shoo them away because he wasn't qualified to be a king. He was already a king, but this king had his eyes on bigger things than geopolitical situations. The battle for our souls and the battle for our eternity of where we live. This week, 2 weeks ago, a special man that was a part of this church named Mike Kramer went to go be with the Lord, a good friend of mine. I knew him well. Him and Pat and Eric and Travis and Todd, the Kramer family, all of it. I probably remember the Kramers, special people. He, a veteran, God bless all you veterans in here today. Mike was a veteran in Vietnam, and he was one of only, one of him and one other guy was all that was left of his platoon. They were all ambushed and killed except for him. Very wonderful man, came to meet Jesus and gave his life to following Christ. As a youth pastor, a young youth pastor at our church, when I first came, Mike and Pat opened the doors to their house. Every Monday night, we would have 25, 30 kids in their house watching Monday Night Football. They supplied all the food. They're just a special couple and a great man. He went to go be with the Lord. Last week, a good friend named Jake Krolik went to go be with the Lord. You guys remember the Krolik family. Love Jake. Good friend. Really hurts on both accounts. Jake died of cancer as well. He had 7 children. His wife, Cindy, just special. They lived down the street from us. Had the privilege of watching Jake come to this church and grow in his walk with Jesus and serve the Lord here in this church and just see his heart get so tenderized to things of God. And it's weird, they're both gone. And yet today they're more alive than you are. Eternity. Eternal souls, heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And Jesus came to earth to prepare people to go to heaven. And he prepares this from the cross. Jesus dying on that cross takes away our sin and shame and guilt before a holy God so that we can spend eternity with the Father. The holy God cannot be with you. Outside of the blood of Christ, you would contaminate his very presence. Jesus cleanses you of sin before a holy God. What does that mean? Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. Christ prepares us for eternity, and is preparing a place for us in eternity. This is the battle that Jesus came to fight. Today you'll be with me in paradise, he told the thief on the cross when he had faith in him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our king came to fight against our greatest enemy, which is not Democrats or Republicans, but death. See, by Jesus turning down their understanding of a king, does that mean that Jesus isn't a king? No. It's interesting. It says that they wanted to make him king by force. See, little did they know that he was already a king and Jesus didn't need their votes to be king. If you take notes with me this morning, here's a great note. If you're in your online watching, you're here today, take notes with me this morning. Note number one. In John 6, Jesus was already a king, and he doesn't need your votes. He didn't need their votes. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness because of His work on the cross. He is the head over every power and authority. Did you hear? Every power and authority. He's the head over it all. Have you ever read the Gospels and just paid close attention how the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places knew exactly who Jesus was and they were scared of Him? We know who You are. You're the Son of the Most High God. What have You come to do? The spiritual realm understands who Jesus is and they're absolutely afraid of His presence. Do we know who He is? And do we have a healthy fear or a healthy reverence of the King? He's the head over every power and authority. And hear this. Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that's above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Has your knee bowed yet? In heaven, the angels bow. On earth, every knee will bow. And under the earth, or in the underworld, all life will kneel before the King. Do we know who He is? Do you and I this morning have a healthy fear of God, a reverence of the King? 2,000 years ago, the masses on that hillside wanted a political king to fight against Rome and to defeat Caesar. They were expecting a political Messiah that would conquer the world. And then this political Messiah would leave and leave them alone to live their temporal lives. Little did they know, the one that was teaching them on that hillside was the fullness of God dwelling in bodily form. Little did they know, the one that was speaking from that hillside was the King of all kings and the Lord of every Lord. Little did they know who He was. Now to the King, 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King eternal. How long is eternity? Now to the King eternal, immortal, can't be killed, invisible, the only God, be honor in glory forever and ever. Amen. Do I hear an amen? Amen. The King. Now that I've established that, this is where it gets personal. Is Jesus the King of your lives? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Answer. How much of your lives is He the Lord over? In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus says, "Why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" Obedience. Obedience. To obey. Obedience, by definition, is submission to one's authority. Obedience, by definition, is submission to one's authority. Jesus says, "Why do you call Me authority and not obey My authority?" That's a good question, isn't it? Jesus asked this question 2,000 years ago. It's a great question. See, now, tomorrow, you're going to enter into a very, I don't know how else to say it, uncomfortable unit in experiencing God. For those of you that have taken the challenge and you're going with me, see, our goal between now starting all the way through the election, we wanted to get as close to Jesus as we possibly can, and this is the tool that we've been using in experiencing God. Understanding the will of God and learning how to connect with God. In Unit 9 of 12 units next week, you're going to end to a chapter that you're probably not going to like at the beginning. Cindy and I, my wife, we were reading it, and we kept looking at each other, and we were going, ouch, ouch. Obedience. Experiencing God through obedience. And yet, as we journeyed on, I think it's probably one of my favorite chapters. It ends really well and very comforting. But It's uncomfortable. The lordship of the King of the universe in your life. What does the lordship of Jesus Christ look like in your life? How does the lordship of Jesus play out in your life and in my life? How much of our lives is He the Lord over? Okay, is He the Lord over your life, yes or no? Yes, right? Is He the Lord over your time? Is He the Lord over your time? Yes or no? How many people say, no, He's not the Lord over my time? How many people say, yeah, He is the Lord over my time? How many people do not want to raise their hand because they're afraid? Thank you kindly. They're very good, honesty. Listen to James chapter. Here's the brother, the half-brother of Jesus, writing about this. He says, now listen to you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city and spend a year there and carry on business and make money. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? Your life is a mist. Your life is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live or do this or that. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. Is the Lord over your life? You are a mist, a vapor in the span of eternity. Of all of time, here you are, a little itty-bitty. If I took a piece of string and threw it across here and said that it started there and ended here, and this is all of time, and I put a little scratch, a little pin mark, and said, this is the full existence of your life. Your life is like a vapor that passes in the night, in the wind, a mist. And God in His sovereignty gives you life in this mist. God is Lord over your life. He gives you the life to live today. Every beat of your heart is a gift from the Almighty. Every breath that your lungs suck in of His air is a gift from God to you. Is He the Lord over your time? Yes. Is He the Lord over your life? How you live, the existence of your life? Yes, He created you. Is He the Lord over every second of your life? Last week, Pastor David was speaking, and he, at one point, talked about a daily planner. He said, imagine, and he uses, and I bear witness to that, a young man still uses a paper daily planner in the 21st century. In our meetings, he has his life calendar all planned out of what he's doing each day. He asked last week, imagine if you were to give your daily planner to somebody and say, you have complete and total authority how I will spend each and every second of my day. Can you imagine if you were to do that? When he said that, I started smiling. It made me think of my son, Jeremiah, when he signed up in the United States military. I told him, don't sign anything, right, Doc? Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Warner Carr over here. Don't sign anything, Jeremiah. He signed up anyway. So this is Sergeant Marmado. He's his drill sergeant in the far back to Sergeant Marmado left side. That's my son, Jeremiah. He's in basic training in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. I want to thank all the veterans that serve, by the way. It's Veterans Day today. God bless every veteran that's ever served in this country. We wouldn't have our freedom if it wasn't for our veterans. Can I say that straight up? Thank you, veterans, for everything that you do. Every veteran in here that signed up on the dotted line, the moment they did, Uncle Sam became the authority over their lives and how they spend each and every second of their life. When my son signed up, every second of his life was now under the authority. His daily planner was given to Uncle Sam, and Sergeant Marmado did a really good job of making sure that my son spent every individual second of his basic training doing exactly what Uncle Sam wanted him to do. Waking up at 4:30 in the morning with a trash can smashing and calling him a maggot. Get up, maggots! And then, the privilege of PT, physical training, at 5. Every second of their days was planned out. It was so wild. When Sin and I went, when he graduated, we got to go see his graduation, and we took him out for his first time to Outback Steakhouse. And we sat there, and he ate it so fast, we were shocked, stunned. What the, are you okay? And he said, we would all go through a food line and take our food, and then we'd have to sit there and wait till everybody's done. And once everybody has their food, then the sergeant, drill sergeant, would say, eat, 10 minutes, eat. And after 10 minutes, done, put it away. He learned to eat in 10 minutes. Every second of his day was under the authority of somebody, and they used it to their benefit. It was interesting. When we saw his graduation, and there is this on the base, there was this like museum that people could go through, and it was kind of like experience what your son or daughter has gone through in basic training. And there was called red, white, and blue, red phase and white phase and blue phase, red, white, and blue. And the very beginning in this area, they would walk in and they would kind of show him what it was like in basic. And there was a video, and you'd walk in, it says, welcome to red phase, your first day here. And Sin and I were just walking in there together, and everything's cool. And all of a sudden, this video on the wall turns on, and a drill sergeant starts screaming at the top of his lungs at us. And I looked over at it, and my son cowered. And he actually had physical, and he got out of there. He was experiencing PTSD. The fear of the drill sergeant was a real part of my son's time at basic training, and how he spent each every moment of his day. There was someone, an authority over him that he was scared to death of. Obey the drill sergeant. See, they had authority over how he spent each second of his day, and they used that to their benefit. My ask you this morning, is Jesus the Lord how you spend your time? Is he the Lord over your time? Yes. Is he the Lord over how you spend each and every second of your day? Can you imagine if tomorrow morning at 4:30 in the morning, the angel Gabriel shows up in your bedroom with a trash can and starts smashing the trash can and saying, the king desires you to get up and spend time with him right now. Undistracted time with you and him right now. Get up. Would that scare you? The king desires you to go on a 10-mile hike with him today after we spend time with him, because God wants you to take care of the body that he's given you. Is that God's way? If God doesn't do this in your life, does that mean that God is not sovereign over how you spend your life? Your time? See, each day you live is a gift by God. But how you choose to live it, he gives you as a gift called free will. He's sovereign over giving all of us freedom of choice in how we choose to live and spend our vapor, our time on earth. He wills us, he gives this to us in his sovereign will. He chooses to do this. And if he wants Gabriel to show up in your room tomorrow, he will. For he's sovereign. See, Jesus is not a drill sergeant yelling at you. Jesus comes from a different place, doesn't he? He comes from a different angle, doesn't he? The sovereign king of the universe calls you to trust him. He calls you to obey him. Listen to the king in Matthew 11. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Does that sound like a drill sergeant, anyone? And yet he's the king of the universe speaking this. The captain of the host of heaven saying these words to you and to me. See, in his sovereignty, he comes from a different place. If you're going to take notes with me this morning, take this note. Note number two, living out the lordship of Jesus in our lives is a relational process of love and trust. Living out the lordship, He is the Lord, but for you and I to live out the lordship of Jesus in our lives, it's a relational process of love and trust, and He designed it this way. This is how God creates it in His sovereign will. See, having a healthy fear and a reverence of the Lord Jesus Christ is important in our lives. Am I right? Hey, parents in here, do you have authority over your children? Yes. Should your children have a healthy fear and a reverence over you? Yes. Parents, do you want your children to cower when you tell them to do something, tremble in fear? Is that how you want them to obey you? Is there a better place? Jesus said this in the night before He died in John 14:21. Whoever has My commands, Jesus says, and keeps them or obeys them. Whoever has My commands and obeys them is the one who loves Me. Love. The one who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I too will love them and show Myself to them. There's an intimacy of relationship and obedience. The more you obey God and trust God, there's more of an intimacy of experiencing God in a relational capacity in your life. See, living out the lordship of the Lord Jesus in our lives, it's a process of learning and growing. Do you trust the King of the universe? Do you trust the King who emptied Himself and came, and we're going to be celebrating Christmas real quick. The King comes. Do you trust and love the King who emptied Himself and became a human being, the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form? Do you trust? Do you love? Do I trust? Do I love the King who hung on a cross Easter to pay for my sin and shame and guilt? Do we trust and love this King? And do we follow this King? And how much do we do this? Behold the journey. And that's why I love that song that I asked Ferdinand to sing, because I sing that song all the time. Keith Green wrote it. And Lord, and I want to thank You now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on Me. I guess I'll have to trust and just believe what You say. Oh, You're coming again. You're coming to take me away. To thank God for His patience, for the King, and His patience with you, and His patience with me. Will we yield to His lordship in our lives during this vapor of life that we live on planet Earth? That's the question. Jesus says, why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? It's a great question. He is the Lord. But he wants us to obey Him not by fear, even though fear works. Love and trust is better. Is He the Lord of your time? Yes. Is He the Lord over your life? Yes. And the day God wills you not to live will be the last day you live on this planet. Is He the Lord over every second you spend your day? Yes, because He wills You to give You the freedom to do it. And He asks you, will you trust Me with your time? It's so funny. You guys, this week as I was reading and studying and preparing, our doorbell rang at our house. I went downstairs and I looked through the peek hole and there's some guy sitting there. I'm like, oh man, what's he trying to sell, right? Opened the door and he says, hey, thank you for opening. I'm a painter. The people that live two houses down from you just bought their house and the wife likes the trim on your house. Could you tell me what color the paint? I'm like, oh, yeah. Open the garage door. We have a little store. Here's the paints and this and that and the other. And all of a sudden, for the next hour and a half, we start talking about Jesus. He's a man's a Christian. He's on his journey with the Lord and he was talking about God and the presidents and elections and this and that and the other. And I'm sitting there going, Jesus, it's Your will for me to speak to this man today. And I don't usually tell people I'm a pastor because they treat me weird. All right? So I said, hey, man, praise God. And he goes, oh, I can't help saying that. And I'll, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, we start talking, and he's talking, and finally goes, so brother, where do you go to church? So, well, actually, I'm a pastor at church. Oh, and then a whole new, you know. It makes me smile because God, I have my day planned, and you have your day planned. Do you allow God to say you can interrupt any and every aspect of my day? You are the Lord of today, Jesus. Now, I think this is what I'm planning on doing today. If the Lord wills, I'll live today. And this is what I have planned on doing today. But God, you have sovereign will over my daily planner, and anything you want to do in this day, you are sovereign and you do it because you are king and I am the servant of you. The attitude. Is he the king over your time? How much of your time? Is the king the Lord over your mouth? Is the king the Lord over your mouth and what comes out of your mouth? Lies, gossip, deceit, potty mouth. You know, if you take the Lord's name in vain, it makes him angry. Moses told us that, right? If the Lord was the Lord over your mouth, what would come out of your mouth? Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, praiseworthy, think on these things. Thinks become, is the Lord over your thoughts? Take each thought captive for the obedience of Christ, says 2 Corinthians 10:5. Is the Lord over our mouths? Is the Lord over our thoughts? Is the Lord over our drinking? Pastor Frank, you're getting a little personal, aren't you? Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What would your life be like if he was the Lord over your life? Is he the Lord over your life? How much of the your life is he the Lord over? Is he the Lord over your sex life? Is he the Lord over your money? Is he the Lord over how you treat your enemies? The Lordship of Jesus. Is he the Lord over your life? Yes. How much of your life is he the Lord over? Does he have authority over? See, this is the question, and this is where it gets real personal. You're not going to like it tomorrow. You're not. The first day is brutal. The second day is still brutal, and then it gets better in 3, 4, and 5, and then it becomes just delightful. And I want to thank you now for being patient with me, right? Note number 3. Obedience is the outward expression of our trust and love for God. Obedience is an outward expression of our trust and love for God. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, obeys them, is the one who loves me, says Jesus. It has been said that Christians that have a hard time obeying God doesn't have an obedience problem, they have a love problem. Let me say that again. For Christians who claim the name of Jesus but have a hard time obeying the King, many people say it's not an obedience problem, it's a love problem. It's a trust problem. Because we have a problem with trust or love, we struggle to obey. And there's probably a lot of truth in that. See, the more we love him and the more we trust him, the more we will obey him. See, the King, as he looks at me, as he looks at you, obedience is important to him. The King today who stares at you and sees you right now, his eyes are upon you, he's upon me, the Lord is here. The eyes of the King as he looks upon you today, your obedience to him is important to him. Why? Note number four. Our obedience is important in deepening our love relationship with God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Our obedience to God is important to God. Why? Because our obedience to God shows, as we journey in this, our love and obedience to the King. It's a journey of relationship with God. As we obey God, it deepens our love and trust for God. And that's important to God. The number one commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says there's no greater commandment than these. The highest moral ethic on planet Earth is love. Love of God and love of one another. The more we love and trust God, the more we'll obey God. And so it's important to God that we learn to obey. It's important for our walk with the King, in our own personal journey with the Lord. But listen to this. It's also important that we obey God, because if we don't obey God, He can't use us. Note number five, our obedience is important in being a part of what God is doing in the world. Our obedience is important in being a part of what God is doing in the world. See, if He can't rely on us, He's not going to use us. If He can't rely on us, He's not going to use us. You want to experience God? I want God to use me in this world. Can He trust you in the small things? Jesus one time gave a teaching about a man who entrusted his wealth to certain people, and then they used it accordingly. In Matthew 25:21, it says, His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." If God calls you to obey Him in things, and the more you obey Him in things, then the more He'll give you more things. God isn't going to use you in this world. See, God is at work in this world. It's Jesus says, "My Father is always about His work, and I am about His work." God is at work in the world. If you want to be a part of being used by God, of what He's doing in the world, your capacity to obey Him is critical. He's not going to give you something to do if He can't trust you to do it. Are you faithful in the little things? Or do you obey in the little things? Then He'll entrust you with other things. There's a thought, isn't it? I like this one. You'll enjoy this one. Right about here is where it gets better. On day five, I like this. Jesus has been with His disciples for about 3 years when He said, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own, He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." Jesus had more He wanted to teach them, but they were not ready to receive it. Jesus understood, however, that the Holy Spirit would continue to guide them into truth according to God's timetable. You may be saying, "Hurry up and make me mature," and God is saying, "I'm moving just as fast in your life as you will allow me. When you are ready for your next lesson, I will bring you new truth into your life." It's a process. It's a journey. I like this. Grass that is here today and gone tomorrow does not require much time to mature. A big oak tree that lives for generations requires much more time to develop. God is concerned about your life through eternity. That's a long time. Allow Him to take all the time He wants to shape you for His purposes. Larger assignments require longer periods of time of preparation. That's good. That'll be waiting for you on Friday, once the ouch time comes tomorrow. See, we're a work in progress. we're on a spiritual journey. To meet Jesus, to know Jesus, to follow Jesus. The more we follow Jesus, the more is because we love and we trust Jesus. See, the more we love Him and trust Him, the more we'll follow Him, the more we'll obey Him. And in that journey, the more He will use us. When He sees that we are faithful and obedient in the small things, He'll trust you with more things. The guy, so Cindy and I got married at Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, Pastor Chuck Smith. Pastor Romaine actually did our wedding, and Pastor Chuck was gone, and Pastor Romaine's going to do our wedding. Pastor Romaine was a gunny sergeant before he became the executive pastor at Calvary Chapel. And Pastor Romaine was famous for saying, people come to him all the time and say, Pastor Romaine, I want to serve the Lord. I want to teach Bible studies. I want to be pastor. I want to be a pastor. And Pastor Romaine would say, you want to be a pastor? Great. Grab a mop and go clean that toilet. He says, you want to be a pastor? You need to learn how to serve. That's good. You be faithful and obedient in the small things, and then we'll see how you do. How many times do you think it happened when people told God that they were ready to be used by Him? You know, kind of that, put me in, coach, I'm ready. And they weren't. It makes me think of Peter the night before Jesus died. In Luke 22, verses 33 and 34, Peter says, but he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you'll deny me three times that you even knew me. Peter, I'm ready, Lord. And I could just see Jesus look over at him and go, no, you're not. You think you're ready. You don't have a clue. See, God is far more interested in getting His will done on earth than you are. But He's not going to use us beyond what we're ready for, experiencing God. How do you get ready? You yield to the Lordship of God in our lives. We trust Him. We obey Him. We're faithful in little things. Here's a cool picture of my son in basic training. Sergeant Marmado is promoting him to an E2. Jeremiah says, Dad, one day I'm sitting there in line trying to... Dr. Carr told my son, when you go to basic training, don't volunteer for anything. Right, Doc? Yeah. Try to stay out of the radar as best as you can. Don't volunteer. Don't do something, you know, just try to pretend like they don't even see you. And it worked. Until toward the end of basic. And Sergeant Marmado noticed that my son was just faithful. Obedient. He thought he had leadership skills. He could see he had leadership skills. And one day they're all standing at attention and he calls out my son to stand forth. And he thought he was going to get in trouble. And then he promotes him to E2 at basic. It makes me think of this when I... God will promote you when you're ready. You be faithful in what He calls you to do. Are you? You're faithful in what He calls you to do. You're faithful in the small things. Maybe nobody notices. God notices. It's kind of cool. Sergeant Marmado later found out he's a Christian. Jeremiah says he walked by one day and he noticed the Bible was open on Sergeant Marmado's desk. And Sergeant Marmado found out that my son was going to be a chaplain's assistant. And ever since then, he inquired, Dad, it was weird, like, after I was so afraid of this man for so long, all of a sudden he's like asking me about my life, and he finds out that I'm a pastor's son, and my dad's a police chaplain and a pastor. And pretty soon Sergeant Marmado starts praying. It's really cool. Healthy fear and reverence of your drill sergeant's important. But you know, to follow somebody because you love and trust them, it's better. Isn't that cool? That's the point. Tomorrow you're going to be reading about obedience. See, God sees us when we're faithful. And the more He sees when we're faithful in the small things, He'll call us to greater things. See, let me ask you a question. In your faith journey, I've been following this Jesus now for 35 years. In your faith journey, can you remember some of the earliest things that you trusted and obeyed God in, and you're glad you did? Can I ask you that? Wherever you are on your faith journey, can you remember in your faith journey some of the earliest times that you were obedient and faithful to the Lord, and now you look back and you're so glad you did? Can you remember those? See, because for me, I was a partier coming out of, I came from a different realm, man. I am so glad. Early in my journey with Jesus, I gave Him my drinking, and He became the Lord over how I abused drugs and alcohol. And I'm so glad I did. As I trust Him and obeyed Him, I kind of think, if I hadn't met Jesus, I think I'd be dead by now. I think I would have probably been a DUI. I would have killed people and killed myself. I drank enough alcohol before I was 20 for a lifetime. And I'm so glad that as I yielded my knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that I realized that this is not good, Frankie. And I dealt with that early in my faith journey. And I'm so glad that I obeyed Him. Can you think of times in the beginning stages of your faith journey when you trusted God and obeyed Him, and you look back and you're like, I'm so glad I did. Can you think of those? What were some of the biggest things you yielded to the King with in your life, and you trusted and obeyed Him with, and you look back and go, God, that's great. What things are you holding on to today that you're struggling to trust the King with? What are the things in your life today that you're struggling in obedience with to the King? And why? Why? You don't trust Him with this one. You don't love Him enough on this one that He doesn't... That battle, it's real and it's for all of us. And I want to close with this. In Luke 10, Jesus sends out His disciples, 70 of them, and He tells them to go into the towns around Galilee and proclaim the gospel and enter into people's lives and enter into homes and bless those homes and tell them about the kingdom of heaven and pray over people and heal the sick and the lame and this and that and the other. And it says that His disciples went out and then they came back and they were like, this was amazing, Lord. We saw the most amazing things happen. And they were reporting to Jesus, and it says that Jesus was just smiling and happy. And then He turned to the 12. I believe it's the 12, and He says this. He turned to His disciples and said privately, so I think that's not the 70, I think it's the 12. He says, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but they did not see it, and hear what you hear, but they did not hear it. It's kind of cool. Jesus looked and He said to them privately, blessed are your eyes which you're seeing right now, because kings wanted to see these things and hear these things that you're seeing. God is moving in the world in a very powerful way right now. Blessed are your eyes that see what God is doing in the lives of people. Blessed are your eyes that see what God is doing. Many kings wanted to see what you see, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew. Blessed are you. Your eyes are seeing things this moment. How blessed are our eyes that see the King of Glory moving in people's lives in the 21st century. When we obey God, how blessed is our eyes when we see the King transforming us and making us who He wants us to be. How blessed is your eyes when you see God changing you. How blessed are your eyes when you see God using you to touch people for the kingdom now in the 21st century. How blessed are your eyes to see God doing what He's doing. The more we obey, we see the power of God. Here's our last note. Note number 6. When we obey God, we experience His power in deeper ways. When we obey God, we experience His power in deeper ways. When we obey Jesus, we see Him work in our lives. When we obey Jesus and we allow Him to use us for His glory, our eyes are blessed to see what the King is doing. Well done, O good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. Well done, O good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. Jesus said these words when His servants would pass from this life into the next. Well done, O good and faithful servants, enter into your rest. My friend Mike Kramer served the Lord here. His sons all were involved in ministry. Mike Kramer served the Lord in this Jesus community for many years, and Pat. And he went to go be with the Lord 2 weeks ago. As he entered into heaven, I will stand on that day of glory and give testimony. And I know that Jesus said to Mike, well done, O good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. Last week, my friend Jake Krolik just went to go be with the Lord. I was thinking about him all this week. Last Monday night at Men's Monday Night Football, we just spent a time just doing Jake Krolik stories because we knew he was in bad shape, and talking about him and remembering him when he first came to the church and how he really just began growing in the Lord as a man, probably, I don't know, 30 at the time when he first came. And I had the privilege of being the youth pastor to his kids and watching Jake. All of a sudden, we're signing up to go into Mexico, and he's down there building, helping us build churches in Mexico, and he's going on missions trips, and he's hey, how can I help with the men's ministry? How can I do this and that? And you just saw his life transform and change. And he went to go view the Lord, I think it was last Tuesday. My eyes were blessed to see his life transformed over the years he was here. And I can't wait to see him again. When he entered glory, I'm convinced, well done, O good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. Faithful in what? Obedience. Obeying me. Someday, your vapor will be done, and so will mine. What are you living for? Someday you're going to stand before the King and give an account of your life. What's He going to say about you? What do you want Him to say about you? Then be that person today. Amen. If any of you in here are looking for ways to serve the Lord, talk to Pastor Vince. We have a list of things we need help with here for the kingdom work. He's Pastor Frank. This is a great sermon. Make sure all of the people here today that if they're looking for any way to serve the Lord, to let me know. Pastor Vince, where are you, buddy? I got your back. There he is. Well, that's Josh, it looks like. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just lift before you this sermon today, and I pray that you would use it for your glory. I pray, Lord God, for my brothers and my sisters that are watching this online, those of us that are here today, Lord God. God, I pray that you would just speak into our hearts and help us to understand God today. Help us to understand God today. What do you want from us, Lord, and why, and where should it come from? Help us, Lord, this week to do a purifying look within our lives. Help us to trust you, learn to trust you, and learn to obey you. O King, you are a king, and we don't vote you in to be king. You already are king. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that you are God in heaven, on earth, and in the underworld. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, all people will kneel before the Almighty. God, in your sovereign will, we pray today that you would just speak into our lives. We want to thank you for being patient with us, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for your kindness that leads us to repentance. We pray, Lord God, that we can understand you. Do we know you? Do we know you, Lord? We trust in you during this day, O King. You are the ultimate sovereign authority over our lives. And we joyfully say that. You are a good King and a good God. And we love you and we trust you. For your glory we pray. Amen.